was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome to Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Tonight I would like to speak to you about, a very interesting read that I had. The National Review. You know, a lot of people in my family who were of a conservative bent ended up following this neoconservative movement. My Lord, it took me a long time to pull my mom out of it. Thank God I did. I was able to show her the true history. Well, there are still people trapped in that insanity. And why I say insanity, because many people still to this day do not realize, many conservatives across the nation who side with neoconservatives have no idea of the real roots of the neoconservative movement. You could say that the father of the neoconservative movement was none other than Leon Trotsky. Now, what I find very interesting is that a recent article that exposed a little bit of this hypocrisy, this insanity, came from the New American. And wait till you hear the wording that this neocon leveled at states who would like to nullify federal laws and exact their constitutional authority, being the creators of that union. He considered it and called it, in good critical theory manner, Confederate nullification. And he said it could cause the Second Civil War. Joe Wolverton, I thank you for this revelation. Once again, the neocons at the National Review demonstrate their ignorance of historical and constitutional facts, replacing them with their own statist slant on the errors of federalism. In an article published on July 26th, Trump and the Politics of Moral Outrage, historian Victor Davis Hanson not only paints state nullification of unconstitutional acts of the federal government as potentially leading to a second civil war, but he doubles down on the historical revision, dubbing this exercise of feudalism Confederate nullification. Here are Hansen's words. Get this. Over 300 local and state jurisdictions have declared themselves immune from federal immigration laws, all without much consequence and without worry that a similar principle of nullification was the basis of the American Civil War, or that other more conservative cities could, in theory, follow their lead and declare themselves exempt from EPA jurisdiction or federal gun registration laws. Confederate nullification, and there is no such thing as Confederate nullification, folks. This is a term that was used by him to smear. Confederate nullification, he goes on to say, is accepted as the new normal, and strangely, its antithesis of border enforcement and adherence to settled law, get this, settled law, is deemed xenophobic, nativist, and racist. Keep in mind, folks, the term racism was coined by none other than the father of the neoconservative movement, Trotsky. Folks, the whole time that we've thought that we've been fighting the good fight in our own midst, it's easy. You know, I almost rather when the Marxists come at us because we can see them coming. We can all too quickly realize their insanity. But when they come presenting us in our own flavor of Kool-Aid, it's harder to root them out. And when I assure you, there are a few folks that I've seen on the National Review that seem like nice enough folks. I wonder if they know the roots to their own movement. If you could call it a movement, I call it a way of life. Big government conservatism is not conservatism. Our founders made it very clear, ally with none, trade with everyone. Setting aside the name-calling, Hansen misunderstands the principle of federalism and its most potent application, nullification. Assuming that a state could nullify any federal act with which it disagrees. That is not how Jefferson and Madison explained, and it is not how the framers of the Constitution anticipated that the reserved power of the states would be exercised. States as the principals and the creators of its agent, the federal authority, retained to themselves the power to refuse to comply with any act of the agent that exceeded the limited authority granted to it in the document that set the boundaries of its legal prerogatives. In other words, if an act of Congress is made with clear constitutional legitimacy, border control or other settled law, for example, nullification is neither constitutionally nor conceptually permissible. Settled law? Settled by whom? By settled law, is Hansen referring to all federal acts, regulations, executive orders, etc., etc.? It would certainly seem so in the context. He is apparently invoking the Supremacy Clause as evidence of the lack of authority in the states to legislate in any area already occupied by any branch or bureau of the federal government. While Hansen is a remarkable classicist and can read Latin and Greek texts that are, well, Greek to the rest of us, he is not as quite as precise in his reading of the Constitution. The fact is, the Supremacy Clause does not declare that all laws passed by the federal government are the supreme law of the land, period. A closer reading reveals that it declares that the laws of the United States made in pursuance of the Constitution, in pursuance, are the supreme law of the land. In pursuance thereof, not in violation thereof. If an act of Congress, an order of the president, a decision of a federal court, or a regulation promulgated by the hundreds of executive branch bureaus is not permissible under any enumerated power granted by the states to the federal government in the Constitution, then that act was not made in pursuance of the Constitution, and therefore is not the supreme law of the land, much less the settled law. Alexander Hamilton reiterated this interpretation of this part of Article 6 when he wrote in the Federalist number 33, "If a number of political societies enter into a larger political society, the laws which the latter may enact pursuant to the powers entrusted to it by its constitution must necessarily be supreme over those societies and the individuals of whom they are composed. But it will not follow from this doctrine that acts of the larger society, which are not pursuant to its constitutional powers, but which are invasions of the residuary authorities of the smaller societies, will become the supreme law of the land. These will merely be acts of usurpation and will deserve to be treated as such." Supporters of the various state bills aimed at nullifying any number of unconstitutional acts of the federal government understand that the states retain numerous rights under the Constitution, including the right and obligation to refuse to cooperate with the central government's consolidation of all political power. And with this pejorative and frankly jejune invocation of the word Confederate, Hansen intimates that any doubt about the location of boundaries between the federal and state governments was cleared up for good by the Union's victory in the war between the states. I beg to differ. The Civil War made one thing clear. The federal government believes, and the Confederacy was forced to concede, that might makes right. The Union Army defeated the Army of the Confederacy. Therefore, so the thinking goes, secession is no longer a constitutional remedy available to the states. Might makes right. I don't know what about the Declaration of Independence that they don't understand. It does not make it right. Think of it this way. Assume my neighbor and I disagree over the exact location of the boundary line between our properties. One day, while I'm out building a shed that my neighbor believes encroaches on his property, we start arguing, and the argument escalates to a full-fledged fist fight, and I knock my neighbor out. Does that mean that the location of our mutual property line has been settled? Does the pummeling of my neighbor make my opinion of the location of that line the legal boundary? Well, the obvious answer to that is, of course it doesn't. Might, it seems, does not make right, neither in boundary disputes regarding land, nor in similar conflicts over state sovereignty. As noted historian Clyde Wilson wrote in his essay From Union to Empire, states' rights had to be covered under a blanket of lies and usurpations by those who thought they could rule us better than we could rule ourselves. At the most critical time, the war between the states, rights were suppressed by force, and the American idea of consent of the governed was replaced by a whole nother idea of obedience. But force can only settle questions of power, not right. It is in that sense that Hansen is correct in his reading of history and his denigration of nullification. The National Review is not known for working to resolve or restore what is right. It makes its money and enhances its prestige, not by fighting for truth, but by serving as one of the mouthpieces of the court party. That is to say, whether the opinions of the neoconservatives are right or wrong is immaterial. The only relevant consideration is whether those opinions consolidate the neocons' control of the sword of the state. So while Victor Davis Hanson may fear the effect on law and order of states who presume to nullify EPA jurisdiction or federal gun legislation laws, just look at what the EPA has done to a river and look at what gun control and the concealed carry or the CCW permit holders in various states who had their information turned over to the federal government, see what they have to say about it. I fear the effect of the preservation of liberty and the formerly unalienable rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness and the perpetuation of the Constitution in a country where states have succumbed to serving as nothing more than administrative subunits of an American empire and are no longer the last barricade between a federal government which has assumed all power over life and death and the people who once ruled as ultimate sovereigns. In the words of James Madison, the states are duty-bound to interpose for the arresting of the progress of evil. All along, right among us, these people of a conservative flavor have been. I again thank you to Joe Wolverton for piquing my interest in this subject once again. We oftentimes forget, and we sit here and argue over this neocon or that neocon fighting with somebody who seems to be grassroots. They are communists. Nothing more than in a conservative flavor. They are warmongers, they are globalists, and they will, at the turn of the hat, side with their brethren of the Marxist variety. Now, as we were going to broadcast, I was getting information in about Ammon Bundy. Allegedly has been beat down by the sheriff's department for failure to comply with orders or resisting or some sort of nonsense. I've never known Ammon to resist or to act in a manner that is anything but honorable. Food for thought, I'd like everybody to this evening check out the Bundy Ranch Facebook page. Jump into that. Make calls, do what you can. This out-of-control federal government is either going to be reined in or we're going to let them take us right into the banking collapse that all of these banksters who, now that they know that we're onto them and many more people are onto them that have been, will likely trigger. I've not been one of these doom or gloom people who have the revolution is coming any day now. My father used to say that all the time. He believed it. He had gold and silver buried in his floor, rifles and ammunition ready to go. He thought it was coming any time. Imagine what he knew that many of you don't. These neocons are more dangerous than Marxists. They're more dangerous than the most progressive liberal Democrat that you've ever seen. Why? Because we can see the others coming. We don't always see these folks coming. Why? I have no idea. I see them. I see them for who they are. But many conservative-minded people, the Tea Parties are a good example. The Tea Party is absolutely infested with neoconservatives, with communists, those who will side with foreign nations over their own nation. They're nothing more than an extension of the Bolsheviks. They're neo-Bolsheviks or neo-Marxists. They've regrouped And while many people are saying, and even me included, well, it doesn't look like the left has their stuff together, doesn't look like they're going to be much of a threat with all their safe spaces, their typical snowflake mentality. But watch out for these neocons, folks. They are literally the wolves in sheep's clothing. They're the ones among us that make us feel comfortable. It takes a long time to withdraw people out. It takes a long time to deprogram them. Run clip one.
In America, many would say the political system is dominated by two major parties. One side, the left, is the Democrat Party, also known as liberals. On the other, the right, is the Republican Party, also known as conservatives. Over the last several decades, many Americans have been realizing we not only have liberals and conservatives, but those who can be labeled as neoconservatives or neocons. Neocons were originally liberals that defected from the Democrat Party and joined the Republican Party. Those early neocons did not change their views and beliefs. Instead, they began to change the views and beliefs of the Republican Party. This neoconservative perspective has not only crept into American politics, but it has also spread into the mainstream media. Today's media outlets are essential to the neoconservative movement. They have proven very effective in influencing public opinion when it comes to politicians and their views. Politically speaking, neoconservatives sound conservative while campaigning. But once safely in office, they do not support the constitutional viewpoint with their votes. For example, an individual may endorse the Second Amendment, but then turns and votes for a policy that would limit our right to bear arms, such as the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty. In other words, politicians often say one thing, but then vote completely the opposite. In order to pick out the neoconservatives from the true conservatives, here are some characteristics to look for. Neoconservatives are known for supporting both international organizations, like the United Nations, along with international treaties, such as the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. As America integrates itself with other nations, both politically and economically, it erodes not only the American economy and job market, but the very principles within our Constitution. Neoconservatives are in favor of preemptive war. This is a type of war that is oftentimes seen by others as an act of aggression, not defense. This could be done through U.S. airstrikes, U.S. troops invading, establishing U.S.-led no-fly zones, or even an all-out war. Although these military actions appear to be initiated by America, they are actually initiated under the authority of the United Nations. Neoconservatives also support the growth of big government. They support larger federal agencies to control major activities in the private sector. Oftentimes, they capitalize on national crises in order to pass major legislation. This allows them to acquire more government control while monitoring the activities of private citizens. Neoconservatives are often members or linked to the Council on Foreign Relations. The CFR is an influential organization that supports a New World Order. They achieve this by persuading many high-ranking individuals to support foreign policy issues, such as free trade and other multinational partnerships. Many neoconservatives do not tout their affiliation with the CFR. A good example is former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Well, Les, Pete, I want to thank you all for the warm welcome today. I see a lot of old friends in the room. And it's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Identifying neoconservatives can be difficult because many of their viewpoints appear to be in support of American ideals. However, over time, they generally lead to more government control at home, a continual breakdown of the economy, and more hostile environments abroad. Understanding who the neoconservatives are is one of the first steps in saving America. Let's begin by taking an in-depth look at the following individuals.
Lindsey Olin Graham, lawyer, U.S. Air Force Reserve Colonel, and senior U.S. Senator from South Carolina. Born July 9, 1955, Graham was the first in his family to attend college. Graduating from the University of South Carolina in 1977, he continued on to receive his Juris Doctor from the University of South Carolina School of Law in 1981. By 1982, Graham began his 6.5 years of service on active duty as an Air Force lawyer. Upon leaving, Graham joined the South Carolina Air National Guard, where he actively served until 1993. Graham then switched to a career in politics. In 1994, he won a seat to the U.S. House of Representatives. And after serving 4 terms in the House, he was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2002. Now serving his second term, Graham still characterizes himself as having conservative values. He promotes himself as a leader in balancing the federal budget, protecting American rights, and opposing amnesty for illegal immigrants. In order to know if Senator Graham is truly conservative, let's examine his stance on preemptive war, international treaties and organizations, involvement with the Council on Foreign Relations, as well as his stance on big government. Since Senator Graham has served in the military and promotes himself as a backer of friends in uniform, let's begin with his views on preemptive war. Starting in 2002, shortly after 9/11, Senator Graham voted in favor of using preemptive war against Iraq. Then, in 2005, Graham voted against a bill that would have eventually withdrawn U.S. troops from Iraq. By 2011, while giving a speech at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, Senator Graham once again showed support of preemptive war by saying,
18 months ago, it was pretty bleak. The enemy was on the offensive, we were on the defensive, and President Obama's decision to send 30,000 troops into Afghanistan, I think, was correct, and not a moment too soon.
This is a small sampling of Graham's early support of preemptive war. The following examples show Senator Graham's neoconservative viewpoint becoming more obvious.
More obvious it is becoming. We will be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report. Broadcast from 12 to 3, Monday to Friday, Central Standard Time. We cover medical issues, geopolitical, spiritual, and others, and you're welcome to call in.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. All over America, people are suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, irregular heartbeat, clogged arteries, and high cholesterol. Can you live your life free from sickness, pain, and fear, and experience your body healing itself? Look to Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural supplement that aids ailing bodies. It has an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. End the pain without all the side effects of prescription drugs. People 20 years younger will envy your vitality. Want a happier, healthier you? Then go to heartandbody.com or call toll-free 866-295-5305 for free information. Heart and Body Extract offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. What are you waiting for? Call Heart and Body now at 866-295-5305 for your free information. Go to heartandbody.com, 866-295-5305. Distributor inquiries welcome.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and
submission. We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror.
Let me preface whatever's going to happen in the future with the fact I'm not your typical cat rapping to shoot you. Anything given certificate is under ownership. Once you know the true predicament, you got a phone to pick. Citizens had to be pledged as collateral chattel before the monarch could start the international battle. They tricked your parents into a human monopoly. That's why they registered you as biological property. When Britain hatched the plan to snatch the land, they gave you a legal fiction. Now that's the jam you find yourself stuck in. You're such a cool victim, indoctrinated in Rockefeller's public school system. Your presidents work directly for the crown. Truly, I did my due diligence because it's my dedicated duty. Other bureaucrats trying to fool me. The Commonwealth is dying to rule me. All I can tell them is welcome to autonomy. Thank you so much for coming.
You could be free again.
Oh, that would be grand.
Only if you would see my friend.
But first, you must understand.
They pathologically pretend.
Hoping to get you on the ship and persuade you to agree with them.
And that's it, man. It'll never cease to end.
Perpetual conflict.
Free again.
Indeed, you could take the shackles off.
But have you ever really been?
According to maritime admiralty law,
you never will be free, my friend.
If you fail to reclaim
your tax money
they freely spend on wars that never seem to end. United States is not a country, but a corporation contractually created by the Constitution. Let there be no debate. Your founding fathers intended you be a citizen of your respective state, not a citizen of the U.S. domiciled in Washington, D.C. Oh, yes. Prior to 1921, upon arrival, the birth of babies was recorded in the family Bible. But after the Great Depression, people really lost their noodles, so they signed a document that simply squandered all their scruples, joining the ranks of former slaves' children, becoming a 14th Amendment citizen. The Social Security Act, written by actors, manufactured to make it look like a beautiful package. Too bad you never heard the news. The Social Security Act equals voluntary servitude. Notice the deceptive language. You bow to tyranny again.
Welcome, Resurrect the Republic, Ernie Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast. That is Payday Monsanto with Call Me When You Are Free. 14th Amendment citizen slaves. I do have a caller on the line before we return to a little bit of the identification of the neoconservative warmongers are the Republican-flavored progressive communists that they are, good communists that they are, now that they're pretty much giving it all to Hillary Clinton. One of my messages and one of my callers that is on the line right now is very fond of is don't join the military. And I happen to wholeheartedly agree with him. Fred, welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
Hello there, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Fred. How are you?
Oh, real good, real good. I'm going to have to tune in more often. I've been a little busy here. Your Friday or Monday show was great. But anyhow.
Thank you.
You're spot on. The persecution of Christians are going to come from the far, so-called far right or the so-called conservative. It's not going to come from the so-called liberal or the progressive.
Yeah, and, they've been at it for a while.
Yeah,
no, I agree with you.
Yeah, you surprised me. You're right on there. Boy, you're doing a fine job. I could yap on her for another 3 days, but I'm going to get off, okay?
Oh, hey, before you get off, I just wanted to give you a little bit of information that I want you to try and fact check for me. I just heard. I heard that Pope Francis' brother is and has been for a very long time a Seventh-day Adventist Protestant Christian.
Well, that's what I hear, and I haven't verified it, but I'll tell you, I can get it verified. And I'll
please,
let you know.
Please do, because I would really be, I mean, that's that hits close to home with, you know, with my brother and the persuasion that he is, and I and the persuasion that I am in. It's very interesting, these dynamics of brother against brother, huh? Oh, God.
I've known this for a year, but I'll get it verified, and I'll let you know one way or the other. I think it's a fact. Well, hey, keep on doing what you're doing there.
Thank you very much, Fred. God bless you. Have a wonderful night.
God bless you, honey. Bye-bye.
All right. And if you could, continue to run this clip until its end, and then we'll pick up.
The following examples show Senator Graham's neoconservative viewpoint becoming more obvious.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a bipartisan coalition together. We're going to put together a use of force resolution allowing our country to use military force.
You're insisting on the right to enrich. Given your behavior, you have abandoned that right. One, there is no right. We're not going to give it to you. Once you get them to the table, you let them know what the final deal would look like and say, take this or else.
The following example is from 2013 in regards to Syria, which involves both Senator Graham and Senator John McCain.
We must change the battlefield equation. Otherwise, you are going to see a regional conflict, the consequences of which we will be paying for a long, long time. And I yield to my colleague from South Carolina.
Well, thank you. I would like to add my voice to the president's decision to act, because I think action by the United States and the international community is required.
The importance of this example is not just the demonstration of Senator Graham's continual support of preemptive war, but also to highlight his connection with the Council on Foreign Relations through John McCain. Over the past decade, Senator Graham has had close ties with longtime CFR member John McCain. Time and time again, the two senators can be seen supporting the same issues. One in particular is the idea that the United States should become the policemen of the world. This is not only a viewpoint of the neoconservative movement, but of the CFR as well. When looking at the connection between Graham and McCain, it becomes clear that the CFR has not only influenced McCain, but Graham as well. Now that we know Graham's stance on war and how he aligns himself with the CFR positions, let's move on to foreign entanglements. Many conservatives see foreign entanglements, such as free trade agreements, as harmful to the U.S. economy and job market. Our founding father Thomas Jefferson warned about foreign entanglements in 1801 by saying, "I deem one of the essential principles of our government to be peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none." This idea has been a guiding principle of many conservatives. Now let's see how Senator Graham has voted. In 2000, Graham voted no on withdrawing from the World Trade Organization. 2006, Graham voted for a free trade agreement with Oman. 2007, Graham voted yes in promoting free trade with Peru. 2011, Graham voted for the United States-Korea Free Trade Agreement Implementation Act. 2012, Graham supported the United Nations Law of the Sea Treaty. How are any of the preceding items in favor of the Constitution or America's sovereignty? Graham's voting record in regard to foreign entanglements reinforces his neoconservative viewpoints. If Senator Graham votes as a neoconservative on foreign issues, how do you think he will vote on domestic issues? Let's look at his views and voting record on national security and federal spending. In 2008, Senator Graham voted in favor of the bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as well as the Troubled Asset Relief Program, which authorized expenditures of $700 billion. 2009, Graham showed continual support of nationalizing banks. 2013, Graham voted to continue U.S. foreign aid to Egypt instead of using the money to repair U.S. bridges and other critical highway infrastructure. Now that we have seen a glimpse of Senator Graham's view on federal spending, let's see his view on national security. In 2001, Senator Graham voted in favor of the Patriot Act and its roving wiretaps. He continued his support again in 2006 and 2011. Although the Patriot Act was signed into law as a means of keeping Americans safe, citizens today are viewing it quite differently. When looking at the NSA's blanket monitoring and tracking of American cell phone data, Americans are saying it is unacceptable. Graham, however, feels quite differently. A prime example was caught on tape in 2013 during a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing when Graham stated,
"I'm a Verizon customer. It doesn't bother me one bit for the National Security Administration to have my phone number."
This is just one more example of how Senator Lindsey Graham supports the neoconservative perspective instead of true conservative values. So what can we as Americans do? For starters, many of us need to remember that politicians are working for we the people. This means the politicians' votes should represent the views of their constituents. Next, we need to make sure politicians are voting for what they say they stand for. This will take some education on your part. However, it is easier today than ever before. One tool that has been very effective in helping voters is the New American Magazine's The Freedom Index. This tool will help you find out how your politicians have voted and also give you the reasons as to why their votes were for or against the Constitution. As we become more educated, we need to share that education with others. Find out how constitutional your politicians really are, and then hold them accountable. Together, we can raise awareness and make a difference.
Well, there you have it. Just to give you an idea, a flavor of what we're facing. Now, there's none of you out there that I know of that are in favor of the Patriot Act.
There's none of you out there in favor of placing people who are on no-fly lists without any form of due process on gun ban lists, or the countless veterans who have emailed me with letters from the VA stating that because they were treated for PTSD, that they can't have firearms either without due process. This is the antithesis of anything reasonable. When you want someone to go and seek out medical attention and get help, especially if by placing them in a situation which caused whatever issue that they have, should it be that same institution that thereby mandates their firearm rights as if the government had the right to say? Here's the insanity. Government never had the right to say. They never had the right to set not one rule, not one regulation, because where a right is involved, no rulemaking shall be allowed, and that's by their own rules in the U.S. Supreme Court determination. You see, incrementally, like a frog in the pot, they have turned up the heat. They have steadily turned up the heat until the point where the frog is boiling. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I was one of those frogs in the pot. For whatever reason, a bubble hit me in the rear end, and I jumped out. Now I'm that frog on the outside screaming to the rest of them, jump out along with me. Let's exit out of this federal jurisdiction. FedExit. Get it? FedExit. I guess that dingbat from the National Review would call me a Confederate, whatever it was that he wanted to coin it. This is the insanity of these people. They will try and use all of the Marxist slang terms, racist, xenophobe, Confederate, all of these words to smear a state's sovereign right to nullify unconstitutional laws. They're only showing themselves every day more and more to be under the martial law jurisdiction that Bruce Ray Riggs and I point out all too painfully. You know, I had family that fought, bled, and died for this. I, like you, was made to believe that America was great, and it was a great place where many people could come and on the tenet of individual freedom and liberty make their fortunes, share in its wealth. All the while, these illusions that were being waved in front of our faces were being subverted and undermined all along. The Constitution, when it was set into place, a lot of people looked at it with suspicion. And in fact, they demanded that a number of amendments be added, now known as the Bill of Rights. I do not call the Bill of Rights the Bill of Rights, as many have. I believe that's part of the mind control. It is not the Bill of Rights, because it gives or grants no rights. It is the Bill of Restrictions, the Bill of Restrictions upon the power of any government, not just ours, but any government that would attempt to undermine the rights that are natural, that are inherent, that existed long before the gun was ever created, and will exist long after many more interesting futuristic weapons are created. Well, I wonder if we'll have this argument one day about lasers and phasers. Folks, we're under a real assault. Well, anyway, we do have a caller on the line, James in Pennsylvania. James, you're on.
Greetings, Brother Thomas.
Hello, sir.
I'm James from Pennsylvania. And, you know, I've been, I mean, this generational Luciferian ensconcement of the political system is just, I mean, it's just beyond the pale. Okay, we're time is running out for this generation. And, I mean, you know, as you well know, I mean, I appreciate your passion, and you know, I mean, I'm a native Pennsylvanian, but I reside in Florida, mid Florida, Southwest Florida.
Where about in Florida?
Vaguely. Down by CENTCOM, Central Command.
Okay.
But I'm not of Central Command. I'm of the Central Command, but
I'm in horse country. You might know where that is.
Right, yeah, but Citrus?
Well, pretty close, there, yeah. About, yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's like Hernando, Citrus, Southwest region. But anyways, I call in occasionally, and you know, I was speaking a few days ago. I was talking with Ralph Winterud about his, his things that he's battling this tax legality and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I told him that, I educated, seated, and formed a common law de jure grand jury here in my Republic of Florida County, here in Hillsborough County.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I was elected by the members of the grand jury to be the commissioner thereof. However, I couldn't get a whole lot of cooperation from the criminal county sheriffs that didn't want to honor their oath. You know what I mean?
They're propagandized and brainwashed like the rest of them. You know, it's
absolutely
a shame,
man.
Because they're also trained that a lot of these laws, statutes, and codes that are no more constitutional than outright murder are in some way justifiable. It is a shame.
Yeah, I know. This whole thing. I mean, I spent much time and effort trying to educate, and I did actually. I enlisted a 25-member common law de jure grand jury for the Republic of Florida rather than the state thereof.
Right.
A totally different concept. This is back in the days of the Guardians of Free Republics. Okay.
Yep.
And this is what we were trying to do. Okay. I couldn't get, I was supposed to be our local county commissioner who was to be the liaison with the other various counties in the state of, or the Republic of Florida, you know, which was, I mean, I was working on delivering, you know, that writing up indictments for all these criminal governmental officials that, they deserve to be served and prosecuted, you know, and tried and, you know, and made to, you know, get the reparations. I mean, we got to take our republic back. We got to resurrect this thing. But
yes,
you
sir.
Can't have resurrection without the repentance of those people that are up against us. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
I don't know. I know. It's, there's so much, you know, I love your program. I tune in from time to time. Occasionally I get blocked on your Tatango chat room site that I always post on.
I keep meaning to use that more. We're going to be moving to use that more in the future when we're going to be doing a little bit of an educational series where I want to interact with the audience. And, you know, for those of you out there that are on Chatango, there is a Resurrect the Republic Chatango chat that somebody very kindly created for our show.
/forward/ on the end. I can still get into that one.
Yeah.
You know, that one hasn't been blocked out. I mean, a certain moderators sometimes disagree with me because I'm righteous. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's like what I said. I was elected to be the commissioner of the grand jury. We had our grand jury foreman, who was an elderly gentleman, and but yet they all got together and knew my dedication of that effort. This is back in the days of the Tim Turner and the Guardians of the Free Republics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, which has been bastardized and people have been screwed over because these criminals that are in that system, you know, I mean, they're probably still sitting in the hoosegow, you know, I mean, at this point, because, you know, they trump up shit and they control and manipulate, and they're all evil, devious, rotten to the core, you know, and these people are bad. I mean, they're evil. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yes, they are. But, you know, we have to expose them. That's what we need to do. There's so many people out there that don't know that their own following, they're following. There's so many conservatives out there that read the National Review, and when they send me an article from the National Review, I'm like, oh my God, here I go again, another hour and a half of my life wasted, maybe not wasted.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
As I try and wake them up and pull them out of that communist beast, one can only just continue to try. Coming up in the second hour, you're going to hear, we're going to run a previous broadcast that occurred. A friend of mine attempted to arrest the criminals and stand up against this. And when I tell you that no one rallied around him, and he is of sound mind and absolute clear thought, and they had the law in their hand. They had a retired judge, retired police chief with them to arrest these county officials and put a call out, and crickets.
Yeah,
crickets.
And, you know, but it all gets absorbed in their evil ensconced system. You know, like with the Lindsey Grahams and the John McCains and those kind of criminal types.
Oh,
they're ensconced, generationally ensconced. I mean, as well as many others. You know, our government is totally beyond the pale criminal. Okay, but you know what? I really think that, I mean, I do a lot of in-depth study, and I happen to be the elder priest of the Ethiopian Zion Conscious Cannabis Christian Church as well, okay? Which, you know, I don't have freedom of my spirituality whatsoever.
No.
There's the criminal government involved, the United Nations, the entire criminal Luciferian globalist system.
Yeah, so much for the separation of church and state, huh?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, no, I totally understand the reason why they're so against my natural, herbal, consciousness, uplifting, sacramental use of cannabis. Is, you know, it's like, yeah, my church would take over, and they know it.
It opens and expands the mind, my brother. It opens and expands the mind.
I hear you, my brother. I know I don't want to take up too much of your time right now, but what I'll do, if you can get Mike to take down this number, my number that I'm calling from.
You go offline when you go offline, Mike, if you would take his number down, please get it to me kindly. I appreciate
much. I would like to maintain a level of communication. I mean, the travesty and the loss of all Bruce Ray Riggs' documentation with the fire that recently occurred.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I don't know that we have enough time. I think things are coming to a rapid end of the whole thing in the bigger picture of things.
Well, evil needs to triumph is when good men do nothing. My brother, we ran out of time. I hear the music. I appreciate that very much, James, and I look forward to talking to you and all of you out there. Go to ResurrectTheRepublic.com, click on that PayPal, donate, send us what you can. We know it can't be a lot right now, but do what you can. God bless all of you, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam. Listen to this next broadcast, Arresting the Criminals.
Not interested in photo ops.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.